And let's turn tonight to Galatians chapter 5. Tonight we come to the sixth virtue of the Holy Spirit. This is the virtue of goodness. We've learned in our study of the Holy Spirit and the doctrine of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit is a person who indwells born again believers. When you're saved by grace, you always. And the Spirit has nine chief virtues. We call them the fruit of the Spirit. And we've learned that Christians will display in some measure all nine of these virtues. So tonight we'll examine the virtue of God's goodness. Examine your heart tonight. Is there goodness in your life? So we'll begin Galatians 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let's pray together. O Lord, we again thank you for your holy word. O Father, we ask tonight that you would focus our hearts on you, Lord. Illuminate these words in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, speak to us. We need your truth. We need your comfort. We need your encouragement. We need the conviction of our sins, Lord. Speak to us now, we pray, in Christ's holy name. Amen. Amen. Well, we begin tonight with the source of good. Now, Mount Hermon towers above the Middle East at some 10,000 feet. The snow and the dew of Mount Hermon trickles down and feeds the headwaters and eventually leads to the Jordan River. So the water that supplies much of Israel trickles down from the snowy peaks of Mount Hermon. In the same way, goodness begins with God, and God, as the only source of good, His goodness trickles down to us by way of the Holy Spirit. Goodness, as all the fruit of the Spirit, has its source in God. Now listen to what the Scriptures say about God's goodness. Psalm 100, a familiar passage, says, "Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good, and His steadfast love endures forever." 1 Chronicles 16, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." Psalm 54, "I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good." And Psalm 25, "Good and upright is the Lord." Now, good is one of those words, and at least in our world today, the way that we use good, it doesn't have a whole lot of emphasis. It's a word that's almost undefinable. I ask my children every day when they come home from school, "How was school?" "Good." What does that mean? Good, 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 bad, something in between? What does good mean? Well, the Greek word agathos, which means good, or is translated good, it means doing the right thing, doing the proper thing, doing the necessary thing, doing the excellent thing. One pastor calls goodness moral excellence. Now, we associate the word good with something that is nice or generally agreeable. That is oftentimes the case with being good or goodness, but it is so much more than this. Good is the morally right thing, even when it's hard, even when it's controversial, even when other people don't understand. Pastor Terry Johnson, in his commentary on Galatians, he gives two examples of goodness from the Scriptures. One he speaks of is when Jesus cast out the money changers from the temple. Now, was that a nice or agreeable act to the people who were in the temple that day? Certainly not. But it was the good thing to do. It was morally upright. It was necessary. He also speaks of Joseph. Remember when Joseph refused to speak or sleep with Potiphar's wife? This was not an easy thing to do. This greatly offended Potiphar's wife and actually turned her against him. It hurt her feelings, Terry Johnson says. But here Joseph did the morally good thing, the upright thing, the excellent thing. Now, because goodness has its source in God and is a fruit of the Spirit, that means only those who are in Christ will produce goodness. As we just read, the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, meaning those who are living in the flesh, the unconverted, will not and cannot do good. That's sort of a controversial thing to say in our culture, isn't it? That only those who are in Christ, only those who are born again, can truly do good in the world. I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Jesus spoke of this. He speaks of healthy trees and diseased trees. It's Matthew 7, verse 15. Christ says this: "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits." Okay, the word healthy that Christ uses here is the Greek word agathos. So when he speaks of the healthy tree, he is saying the good tree, the upright tree, the excellent tree, the morally good tree. Jesus himself says there are healthy diseased trees that cannot bear good fruit. Now, oftentimes, I know you have heard this in the news or just in the slang that people use around. People describe one another as good people or good humans. I know you've heard this. I hear this all the time. They are such a good person. They are such a good human. Just do your part. Be a good person. Here's the problem with language like this. If you're living apart from Christ, you are not a good person. You cannot do good. Yes, in the world's eyes, you may do things that are helpful to your fellow man, charitable things. But apart from conversion, you cannot do anything that is good in the Lord's eyes. It may be good in the world's eyes, but it is not good and pleasing to God unless you are born again. Only those who are healthy trees can bear good fruit. Even our best works are mixed with sin and selfishness. Romans 3 says, "None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one." Christian, what is the source of good? It must come from God himself. You must be born again and trusting in Christ, or else you will never bring good into the world. You will never please your Creator. It only comes from the true source, which is God himself. Goodness. Well, several ways tonight I want you to see the goodness of God thrived. So first, I want you to turn to Psalm 145. And in Psalm 145, we see that the Lord is good to all. His goodness extends to all people. Psalm 145, verse 9 says, "The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made." That's an amazing statement. Every person throughout history, throughout all creation, has benefited immensely from the goodness of God. And God's goodness, his goodness, his creation, it's all around us. When we look out and we see the beautiful sun shining upon us, we see the clouds. At night, we see the moon glaring down on us, the grass, the trees, his creation. This is God's goodness. The health that we enjoy, blessings like food and drink and family. This is God's goodness that is available to all. His goodness in his ordering of the worlds. His goodness to give us gifts like daily bread and water and provision. He even gives an abundance of blessings. Success in work. Success in life. To those who shake their fists against him. God is good to all. Now, oftentimes you may hear questions like, how can a good God allow evil? How can a good God allow tragedies to occur, war and violence? Shouldn't a good God only do good? Well, we just, in this brief study of the word good, we see that God's goodness does not always equal our happiness. God's goodness is moral uprightness. This means his judgments are good. It means his punishment of sin is good. It means bringing suffering into our lives to purify and refine us. That too is good. But also, this is the wrong sort of question, asking, how does a good God allow suffering and evil in the world? People should be asking the reverse question. How is it possible that God shows any goodness to anyone? Even one single ounce of goodness to one single person is more than the world deserves. And yet Scripture tells us here, God is good to all. He gives goodness to all in the world. Second, we see the Lord's saving goodness. Yes, certainly the Lord is good to all in a common sense. We call this common grace, a general goodness to the world through his creation. But there is a special saving goodness for God's elect. I want you to turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 says this, verse 3. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. See, this goodness appeared in human form, a special saving goodness in the person of Jesus Christ. How do we describe God's goodness? It's manifested to us in the life and works of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He lived over 30 years walking on our earth in moral perfection. Everything he did was excellent, and it's an initiating goodness. You notice this? The goodness of God appeared to us. It came to us. And when did this goodness come? Paul says in Titus, when we were passing our days in malice and envy, when we were living in sin, this is when God's goodness in the person of Jesus Christ appeared. So there's a saving goodness. Well, third aspect of God's goodness, turn to James chapter 1. And in James 1, we see that his goodness is unchanging. James 1, verse 17 says this. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Christian, when you are dealing with pain and suffering, depression, sadness, loneliness, it can be very difficult to discern the goodness of God. And at times, thoughts can creep in like, why is this happening to me? Is God not good? Is he doing bad to me? Is he punishing me? Some have even asked, does God take this scripture to heart? There is no variation or change in God. And you see there at the beginning of verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from him. There is no changing in this. Everything that he does, everything that he brings into your life is good. And he never changes. It may be harder for you to understand his goodness at times. You may have to be on your knees more in prayer and exercise patience. Wait patiently until you grasp the full extent of his goodness. But here we see God's goodness never changes. Fourth, familiar scripture for us is Romans 8:28, which tells us that he causes all things to work together for your good. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." All things in your life, Christian, for those who love God, all things are working together for your good, for your blessing, for your prospering, for your maturing, for you to thrive in God. Everything that God brings into your life has a purpose, and that purpose, you can be assured, is for your good. And then one last, Philippians 1 tells us that God always completes the good work that he begins. If you were to go around our house at this moment, you would see a decent amount of unfinished projects. Things that I have started or the backyard or things in the house in various places, they stand in stages of finishing. And maybe the same is true at your house. But it's not the case with God. Everything that he begins, every good work that he begins, he will always bring it to completion. It will always be finished. I am sure of this, Paul says, that he who began a good work, this morally upright work in you, this work of blessing in you, this work of salvation, he will bring it to completion. This means you cannot fall away from God. This means that the good work cannot be undone by you. God will bring his good work to completion. And what an encouragement that is, that you are his good work. Well, how do we practice goodness? I want to spend the rest of our time tonight with digging into what does goodness look like in your life? How do you put goodness into practice? How do you bear the fruit of goodness? First, let's turn to Luke chapter 19. Jesus here tells us a parable. And the lesson on goodness is to be faithful with what God has given you. So let's look at Luke 19, beginning with verse 12. And he said, "Therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, 'Engage in business until I come.' But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, 'We do not want this man to reign over us.' When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him that he might know what they had gained by doing business. The first came before him, saying, 'Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more.' And he said to him, 'Well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities.'" Notice here what the master says. Well done. What kind of servant? Good servant. The servant took what was given, went to work, and earned much more. He was a faithful servant. So, Christian, how are you to practice goodness? Take the talents, take the gifts, the skills, the income, take all that God has given you and be faithful with it. Put it into practice. Think about what God has entrusted you with. Athletic ability, musical ability, financial blessings, teaching gifts, whatever it is, from the youngest to the oldest, God has given every member of his church, every covenant child, every adult member of his church, talents and abilities and gifts to use faithfully for his kingdom, to be good stewards of. Ask yourself, Christian, where am I using my gifts? Where am I using what God has given me to do good for his kingdom? This is how you practice goodness, being faithful with what God has already blessed you with. One of the easiest ways, one of the ways that you can put this into practice at any time, at any place, is to pray. Use the gift of prayer. Do good, practice good by praying. Well, how else can we practice goodness? I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy 3, of course, we commonly turn to when we speak of Scripture and all that Scripture is to us. But there's also an application of doing good here in 2 Timothy 3. So let's begin 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. I firmly believe, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. The man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You see this? What happens when you are devoted to the Scriptures, when you continue in them? Paul saying to Timothy, continue in the Scriptures that you learned when you were a child from your mother and grandmother. Continue devoting yourself to the Word, and what happens? You are equipped for every good work. This word equipped, it means to be furnished. You walk into a fully furnished apartment and it has everything that you need. It's got the chair to sit down on, it's got the couch, it's got the TV, it's got the nightstand, it has the coffee table, everything that you need to function. In the same way, when you devote yourself to Scripture, in the power of the Spirit, you have everything that you need. You're fully furnished to do good in the world. So Christian, get into God's Word, devote yourself to the Word. By the way, you're doing that right now. You are fully furnishing yourself with God's Word so that you can do good. But continue studying, meditating, hearing the preaching and teaching of the Word, studying at home, praying over the Word, praying together and reading in family devotionals. You want to do more pleasing good works for the Lord, then devote yourself to the Scriptures and you will be equipped for every good work. Well, third way that you can practice goodness is to guard your tongue. And one of the chief ways that you can do good is to speak good, godly words. But one of the quickest ways that you can do harm is to speak evil words. I credit Mrs. Leslie here for helping me with the tube of toothpaste illustration. That oftentimes words are like the toothpaste coming out of the tube. Once they're out, you can't put them back in. So it's so important what we say. Ephesians chapter 4 says this: let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. You hear this, Christian? How are we to bring good into the world? Building up. This requires wisdom. It requires self-control. It requires a close guarding of our tongues. And listen to what Jesus says about good words in Matthew. Matthew chapter 12. He says this, verse 34. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. Out of your treasure, out of your heart, the mouth speaks. When your treasure is Christ, it's evident. You speak what is good. You speak words of blessing. You speak morally upright words. Christian, are you treasuring Christ? And what constitutes good words? Scripture tells us what is true, what is necessary, what is upright. Oftentimes, our good words will be words that confront evil, words that stand against evil and stand for righteousness, words that condemn sin. Our courageous words, compassionate words, encouraging words, these are all necessary. And Christian, one of the best ways for you to practice goodness is to speak these good words. And fourth, a fourth way to bring good into the world. Romans 12 tells us to hold fast to what is good. Romans 12 says, "Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Now, Paul gives us this command because we are constantly threatened by evil, because there is a constant threat and a temptation to be overcome by evil. And so he says, you must be proactive. You must overcome evil with good. And how do you do this? You hold fast, that is, cling tightly, grab hold to what is good, like you're holding on to a life preserver. He says, do not let go. Cling to what is good. And then a final encouragement tonight. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. And verses 9 and 10 say, "Good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Christian, do not grow weary in doing good. It's easy to grow weary. But you see the promise here, in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And so we are called to do good to everyone. Oftentimes the church misses the application here that we are to do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. We do good to the world, yes, that's our command, but we don't begin with the world. We begin in our homes, with our families, and we begin in the church, and then the goodness of God extends out to the world. So Christian, begin, if you're not already practicing good, begin practicing good in the home, in the church, and extend goodness to all. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for this promise, in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, Father, that you are morally upright, excellent, perfect in all of your ways, Lord. And you give us these good words and good encouragements, Lord. Help us, Father, to bring goodness into the world wherever we go. Lord, that is challenging at times, to speak words, Father, that the world needs to hear, that our neighbor needs to hear. Give us the strength that we need, Lord. Help us not to grow weary in doing good. Fill us with your Spirit that we might be healthy trees, Lord, and bring this good fruit into the world. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen.